couple of others have 4 months of rent deferral. And what we've arranged with them is to allow the rent to be paid for the 2 or 4 months, and then allocate that rent deferral over the balance of the lease term. So all of the tenants have agreed to that, and hopefully that's all that will be needed as the hopefully the virus will hopefully allow people to be back into their normal, somewhat normal working processes and allow the rent to move forward. However, we have adjusted for some of that in case we have some issues in the budget for the next fiscal year. Other items, we have an interior sprinkler system work that we will address on another agenda item later on.
Chris, these are deferrals, not forgivenesses.
Correct. The intent is that the by the end of the lease term, all the rent will be paid. It's just deferred. It will be allocated or prorated over the remaining life of the lease.
Thank you.
I apologize, but I had some kind of a technical issue, so I missed a little part of it. But I believe you're talking about the rent deferrals that were listed on page 1, I believe, of the financials. Is there going to be, I know there's been talk about some legislation that would be waiving rents or putting that at 80%. Have you heard anything about that?
Say that again, about 80%?
There's some legislation that's being proposed or being talked about commercial property, reducing all commercial property to 80%. Have you heard anything about this? Actually waivers, not deferrals.
I have not heard anything about waivers. What I'm familiar with is some of, like, the city has granted like a 6-month deferral on most properties, and that where we're working with the tenants to defer based on their request.
I was I participated on a webinar earlier this week, and it was put on by some attorneys, and that was a topic that came up, but they just talked about that there's some movement, but you know, we'll hear more about it if it advances to the governor's office. But okay, good to know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's then. That was informational. Let's move on to the financial reports. And I'll just go report by report, and please, anybody who wants to say anything, interrupt and take it. So the district financial statements from 8 to 18. Any questions anybody has? Comments from Booth CFO at any point? No? Okay. The receivables summary on page 19. Deposits. Property tax receipts. How is this comparing to budget, Rick?
Actually, we're exceeding budget right now by about $200,000.
Okay.
We have had, you know, some 3 or 4% increase on some line items.
Yeah.
The property taxes probably won't be reflected for like another year or year and a half, right?
Yeah.
That will be discussing with the budget, but you're actually right. I mean, if there's any impact, you know, we probably won't realize that until in 2021 or something.
Yeah, we have a bit of a lead time, but I suspect there's going to be an impact on
certainly commercial real estate. Everybody seems to like this at home thing. All right, good. I think receivables, district deposits, property tax, Las Palmas Medical Plaza deposits, any district check register, the credit card detail. Anyone want to call anything out and ask for an explanation?
I have a question about the state liability checks. I know we get them periodically, the liability checks, the QuickBooks payroll service, $39,000. Is that like, I think one of them was listed as workman's comp. Is that what that is? Those $39,000, $40,000, $39,000, $40,000, you know, it goes back and forth between $39,000 and $40,000.
The QuickBooks payroll service is just all of the payroll for the staff. You've seen something, there's a workers' comp premium that we pay, but it's not $39,000.
Okay. So yeah, I the 319. Let me see, 319. Do liability. Okay. Okay, I'm not gonna hold it up. I think I just got it written down wrong. I must have written something wrong. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. It ties to our payroll, and it's the sum of.
Oh, here it is on 4-2, liability check. But that's just, it's not a state liability, it's just payroll. Okay. Okay, that explains it. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. You ask any question anytime.
Good question, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's.
Who is Jeff Kreider? I know the name, I couldn't place him.
He's the one that's doing our history book for the district.
Oh, yeah, I talked to him. That's why I recognize the name. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
How's he while we're on that, how's he doing?
The outline looks really good. I think it's going to be a pretty comprehensive book, but it's a few months away yet. But I think he's got a pretty good outline, and he's been interviewing people. And
when's he planning on submitting a draft or a preliminary?
Well, I think we are scheduled for. I believe October, but I imagine we'll have some draft prior to that, but October is our anticipated completion date.
Okay.
Very nice guy, very knowledgeable.
Yeah, good. Just along those lines, as long as I stayed at some friend's house down here in Carlsbad. Because I came down last night from another commitment, and just everything's crazy now for everybody. But I stayed in a guest room of some friends, and there was a book in there that was written in the 60s on the history of Palm Springs. And there's some early photographs of Desert Hospital. And I will steal that book temporarily and get us a copy so we can mark what pages we might want to include in our thing. And I've been around a long time, and there's some things I've never seen before, so it's pretty cool.
Oh,
and I can't remember. You'd all know the name of who it was. It's some old pioneer lady that was in town.
Nellie Kaufman.
It may have been Nellie. Yeah. Are you familiar with the book?
I think so. Yeah. I might have had it in my store at one point. Yeah.
Yeah. But
I know
I'll
a lot of Tiempo de los Niños cookbooks.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's probably where all that stuff came from.
I think your late mother-in-law has some recipes in there.
Oh, they're delicious, I'm sure. No, she's a lovely cook. Sorry, enough of that. May she rest. All right, move on. That's terrible. Credit card expenses, lost
Palms. Oh, I have a question about expenses. This caught my attention on page, what page is that? 29. It caught my attention because it said wine lovers auction, and then coincidentally it has my name to it, so I knew what event that was. It was a Vim event, but I thought, oh my gosh, I don't like the way that looks. You know, it looks like if the district paid for me to be having wine or something. It's really intended to support a worthy organization. And then I noticed that somebody else had something. I think it was Modernism Week, and there was another one, All That Jazz. So I was just wondering, instead of it being the event title, because they usually try to come up with something catchy like that, can it be the, can you mention the organization? I think, like, for example, the Jocelyn Center, you know, if it has the organization name better than Wine Lovers Auction, it just doesn't look right. So just a request.
Yes, this is Eric Taylor, the accounting manager. I will make sure that that is included for future
Thank
reports.
Thank you.
Yes, because some of us don't drink wine. I can't remember who, but no, just kidding. That's good. I agree. I think we ought to be cautious so we don't step into something we really don't belong in. All right. So check detail. RPP, am I close to on schedule? RPP?
I have a question about the page 32. Yeah. Chris, does this number 172 change? Is that a change from any previous months?
I'm sorry, what page are you on?
32.
It's updated. The only thing that did not get updated is the investment account balance. On this report, it shows 4.9 million, but with the effects of on the market with COVID-19, we're at the end of March, where balance is 4.3 million.
Yeah, but no, I was asking a slightly different question as it relates to the number of participants. 172 is a fixed number, short of people passing away?
No, it actually adjusts based on when employees leave work at the hospital. So when they, right now we've got the three categories. There's active and then vested, no longer employed, etc. So if an employee leaves employment at the hospital and they request their funds, then once those are dispersed, then they, that's
right. But the 172 is pretty static.
No, actually, from our last meeting in February, it reduced by 4. It was 176.
I see. Okay, that's my point. Would you just mind, whenever there's a change in that number, just indicating the nature of the change, just for tracking purposes?
Okay, I can show you what.
I understand, but it would just let us know what the trend line is. That's all.
Sure. And to your point, and we've talked about this before, I mean, it's a lot of employees, 103 that are still active employees
right.
at the hospital. And these are people that have been there since the lease started in 1997 and before. They've been around for quite a long time. I keep expecting to see that number start dropping. But they're still working.
Yeah, understood. Okay, thank you.
I have one other question that I should have brought up on page 30. There was a mention about laptops for staff. I'm guessing that must be because of having to work remotely and that we had to make sure that our staff was able to work remotely. So they all have district laptops, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and is there some kind of policy for district computers about, a standard policy about privacy and not getting all these other viruses, computer viruses, not bacterial viruses?
They're supposed to be used. That's why we got them for employees to be used specifically for business purposes.
Okay.
Discussed about emails and the potential of viruses in that. There's a lot of hacking that seems to be going on.
Chris, you're hard to hear.
Huh?
You're muffled again. You're hard to hear. I'm sorry.
I just saw another webinar about working remotely. See, the danger of me being in so many webinars, I just learn all these little things, enough to be dangerous, I guess.
Right.
Oh, perfect now.
Is that better?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Sorry.
Okay. Good.
And one other thing on page 31, the bank charges. Are those excessive or are those consistent with how much we usually do bank charges?
On 31, with credit card payments that the tenants make, there's the credit card fees that we have along with our normal bank fees. So it's a little higher for Las Palmas Medical Plaza because of the credit card fees.
Is there any way they could be doing like ACH payments or something like that?
Their spouses like the points.
Oh.
Yeah, they like those miles, etc.
Yeah.
That's a lot of bank charges. I think on 430, there was one for 1150. On 331, there was one for 885. I just was wondering if that was excessive or if you thought that was reasonable.
Raise the rent on them 50 cents or a buck. But anyways, that's a
reasonable. Is it a cost of doing business or is there a way that we can reduce that?
Several schools of thought. One of them is, do you help the doctors that are, you know, right across the street serving the hospital, or do you try and make as much money as you can? And I've been in both camps, for the record. As we look at lease extension, I think we want more friends than enemies.
But I'm thinking we're making friends with the bank because the bank is making money off of us, not the
True. That's true.
The credit card company it is.
Yeah. 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 They're putting them on their credit cards.
Oh, okay.
And that's the reason they do it. Otherwise, I mean, we'd either have them write a check or do the ACH, but some of them really like doing it on their credit cards because they get the benefit of the miles or points or.
Okay. Very interesting. Thank you.
All right. Grant payment schedule. Okay.
So CVAG still hasn't drawn down on any of the CV link.
We did just receive an invoice, and we're working through that as we speak.
Okay.
Good. $1.6
million. Okay. Chris, have we gotten any federal assistance money because of the COVID crisis? Because I know not-for-profits are eligible. Have we benefited from that at all or not?
We have applied through FEMA for some potential funding through that for the special district. The special districts have not been part of the pool of funds from the government. But we're looking at some potential funding through some FEMA funding.
Order of magnitude?
I don't know how much we could potentially be. I can't remember the number. Do you, Conrado, how much was coming down from that? You're on mute.
Okay. All right.
No, Conrado is.
The thousands is not a big number.
Did you say 250,000?
No, I said it is just in the thousands. It's not a big number.
Because that payroll protection program, that's quite a bit of money. But
it's intended for people that have had to stop.
Right.
That have been laying off people.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Good. Anything further? Any other questions on the agenda? Okay, let's adjourn this meeting and move to
the...
Oh, I miss.
No, we got other items.
Okay, go to it. I kind of lost my screen, so I'll come back, but go to the next item on the agenda. There we go.
Okay, so that's the investment portfolios. Keith Stribling with Highmark Capital Management is with us on the phone and to give us some highlights regarding the March 31st, 2020 investment reports.
Okay.
Hi, can everybody hear me okay?
Sure. Yes.
Great. Well, you called them highlights. It could be lowlights.
Right.
As we all know, it's been a tough year. 2020 has sort of fallen flat on its face. And I don't think I need to tell you guys because you're running a hospital. So you're well aware of what's going on. for the first 3 months of the year, the investment portfolio was off 14.5%, not quite 14.3%. With stocks down 22, basically almost everything, nothing really worked. Fixed income, U.S. Treasuries, that was about it. I will say April had a good recovery. April, the portfolio was up 5.7%, leaving the portfolio down for the first 4 months, down 8.5%. It's off 2% for the one-year period. Longer term, it's up 6%, and that's a compounded number. So that's an annualized compounded number. But needless to say, it's hard to know exactly what's going to happen. We do have the portfolio positioned on the conservative side as we're underweight equities and have no exposure to high yield. That said, the fixed income market has felt some heat from, we're effectively in a recession, and a recessionary environment is tough on fixed income investments. So credit spreads have widened out relative, basically was very choppy at the end of the year, or at the end of the quarter rather, but the Fed stepped in a big way. And if you just kind of step back and look at it and try to make some sense of where Wall Street is versus where Main Street is. They look quite different. We have over 20 million unemployed, and that doesn't seem like it's going to come back right away. The game plan kind of is that the Federal Reserve is creating a aggressive monetary policy is creating a financial bridge loan to the economy, and Congress has acted to get money to those, through unemployment and direct payments, frankly, to those who were affected, and hopefully creating a fiscal bridge loan to the economy and trying to keep businesses open so that there's a place to go back to work when we get into a better position. The idea would be then, of course, as we know, viruses typically don't do as well in the summer as they do in colder months. And, that's why we have a flu season. And so that, hopefully this can all buy time to get some better treatment options. And, that could create a bridge to a vaccine.
I have a question. Do we want me to wait until the end, or can I ask a question?
No, I love it to be interactive. It's just hard to tell when we're sitting in different rooms, or not even different rooms. But
on page 43 of 80, and it has the beginning market value of 5.1, and then it has the gain loss of minus 756. So is that the big hit that we got when it first kind of happened in March, or
is... Yes, right. The investment portfolio in the first 3 months of the year was off 14.3%. So, and the stocks were off 12%. The alternative strategies were off 22, almost 23% rather. Alternative strategies were off almost 13. And then bonds were up 1.5%.
So that was a dollar value of the percentages.
That was the dollar value, yes.
That was a big number.
Yeah, try not to look at those numbers too much. Yeah, they're uncomfortable for sure. You know, like I said, April was much better, and May has started off pretty good. Today the market took a little heat from Congress was questioning the FDA and Dr. Fauci and the CDC about what's going on. And so there's a lot of talk about how to prepare, basically. So, you know, the reality is, if you look at South Korea and you look at the United States, we got our first COVID case on the same day. To my knowledge, South Korea has not had to shut down a mall because they were prepared for widespread aggressive testing. They're using technology on cell phones for tracking so that if somebody who comes up positive, then it will give them a list of numbers to contact, trace. You know, we're kind of running around trying to figure out how to do this. So it's a bit unfortunate that we were not more prepared for something that seems quite inevitable. I think anybody who works in the healthcare industry would say a pandemic is an inevitability. It's just, you know. So anyway, the idea is to get better prepared for the fall, because most likely this will come back in the fall. And if we're prepared with widespread testing, then we can locally close things down instead of closing the entire economy down.
Are we going to make any changes with the distribution of some of these holdings? Like, for example, the industrials, where we have Boeing at $0 and we know how that's going to be for a while. Are we going to make any changes, or are we going to just let it ride out?
Yeah, we're always making changes to the holdings. You know, Boeing is a very small position. It's basically a market-weighted position. Just 10 shares, it's not really going to affect the overall portfolio.
Okay.
It's actually a bigger weight in the index fund that's in there than it is in the actual individual stock holdings. But, we're always making changes to the holdings. And, you know, the main thing I went through and tried to make sure that the holdings that are in the portfolio have strong balance sheets. And the ones that didn't, we got rid of. So, you know, a couple of these show up as positions with zero. So I don't know quite why that is. But, for example, we sold Royal Caribbean before the whole thing, kind of sometime in February, Boeing, I believe, I thought I sold that one in there too. So sometimes the positions don't show up exactly timely. Like there could be, if there's a dividend still being paid, it might show a zero position.
I have a question. What, you know, looking at that, the total loss in the market, Can you break that loss down into recognized losses versus realized losses, or said differently in English, how many dollars were lost as a result of sales, and how many dollars of that 12% were lost as a function of just devaluing the value of the stocks that we did not sell?
So I can't quite do it that specifically, but what I can tell you is that almost all of it is just things that we effectively, it's both of those numbers, but 90% of it or more is just devaluing the current holdings.
Okay. So,
So they're paper losses.
Okay. They're right. Paper losses as opposed to you bailing out of, obviously you bailed out of a couple of that you just mentioned, but the majority, 90% of it are just paper losses. So to answer Letty's question, we're riding through the storm with raincoats on and with still rolling.
That's right. And any, you know, typically if I sold one stock, I probably bought a different one.
Yeah,
so,
I understand.
You know, it's a relative thing, you know, and whether it's you know, don't like the risk of the holding and want to find something that, you know, looks more stable, or whether it's an opportunity in this stock, you know, because of the market movement, maybe makes it a better opportunity.
Right, but the majority, the 90% of paper losses, and you know, that just that's
yeah, more, probably that's, yeah, probably 98.
Yeah, it stings a little bit to hear the number, but it's not real because you know the sun will come up tomorrow as the storm goes.
Yes, it will. And of course, I'm adhering to the policy of no tobacco, no alcohol, no soft drinks. We have a pretty good heavy weighting in actually in healthcare stocks.
Okay, thank you. But I just wanted to clarify the difference because if you don't know that difference, it could scare the hell out of somebody. And you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
Your approach is sound, in my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.
Good. I'm having difficulty getting to my agenda. So is that it?
We have a sprinkler system.
Yeah, so next on the agenda is Las Palmas Medical Plaza interior fire sprinkler installation.
23,000, got it.
Right. So if you recall, a few months ago, we completed the exterior underground fire sprinkler infrastructure to the buildings. And we had initially taken the thought that as tenants renewed their leases or any new leases that we would do the interior parts of the sprinkler system with individual suites. That's not working out as well as they'd hoped. Some of the tenants are kind of pushing back on that. They don't like the idea of having to do that included with their TI work, et cetera. Overall, it's kind of more inefficient as well. It's going to cost us more money as we do individual suites. So we're taking the approach to look at maybe doing all or larger portions of a building at a time. And so having our contractor look at what that will cost initially. We're looking at around 23,000 that would like to get approved to get plans drawn, survey work done with it, and also take the planning commission and get the permits, and then we can go out to bid on the actual cost of the installation. We'll come back with that at a later date.
Good. Do you think you got any even thumbnail of what you think the construction cost might be or the actual
install? You know, I've got included in the budget for next year, $210,000, but I mean, that's just
A swag.
It's a swag. So.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Any other questions? I think there was a point where kind of nickeling, getting them as they changed was good, but eventually it all has to tie together. And now is probably the time to do that.
Well, and one of the things that we're finding too is that to get like one suite, because we've tapped into from the exterior to one point in the building. And even though we might have a suite at the opposite end of the building where that is coming into the building, the main line, we still have ceiling infrastructure work that has to tie those two together. So we're trying to work with the tenants. Some of them I think are gonna be a little difficult. Some of the doctors probably won't be very happy with, you know, interrupting some of their business, but you know, we're gonna try to work with them as much as possible. It might require some after hours, weekend type work, but I think if we can ultimately do it, in a larger swath versus the individual suites, I think we're going to be better off in the long run.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. Any questions on that? Is there a motion to approve that?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. The annual budget.
Okay, so we've kind of led with a cover sheet or a staff report here to giving some thought or some hypothesis to some of the revenue items, the larger one obviously being our property tax income. So we did some research with that, and Kate Schiller and some other economic resources are initially predicting potentially a 4% reduction in property tax values. And, you know, but that's also dependent on how deep the virus could go, or if there's a resurgence, et cetera. Any, as was discussed earlier, any kind of effects probably won't be realized until in 2021 or later. We also took a look at back during the recession period, 2009 to 2011, and saw that what that actually, the effect of that was a 13% reduction to our property tax revenue. I think we're looking at something different this time, where previously it was essentially all real estate with lenders and, you know, that sort of thing. People, you know, we could experience some similar things if people do not get back to work, if they have loss of income, lose their properties to foreclosure, et cetera. Hopefully that is minimal in this this pandemic process. But so there's some real unknowns, but what we're working with is kind of the high and low, the 4% and the 13%. And then we took a kind of a stab in the middle at what I feel is a conservative approach at 8%. And that's what we've included in the budget for the property tax revenue, is an 8% reduction from what our current property tax revenue is anticipated for this year. Beyond that, we've looked at the Las Palmas Medical Plaza rent, and included in the budget, we'll actually see some graphs that identify these highs and lows and what we've included in the budget. But we've also taken, I think, a conservative approach that 5%. Thank you, Andrea. I appreciate you moving that. So that this one that's on the screen is for the actual property tax revenue impact. So you see the 4%, 8%, and 13% decrease. And we're utilizing the 8% in the middle there. The next graph illustrates the what we're looking at on the Medical Plaza rent and CAM revenues. Right now, I mean, the feel that we're getting from the tenants is just what we've talked about earlier. That we have eight suites that have requested rent relief for anywhere from 2 to 4 months. It's unknown at this point if there will be further requests, but on a conservative approach, we've taken a 5% reduction to both the rent and the CAM revenue, and feel that that is a conservative number to include in the budget. We can go through.
Can I ask a question on rent reduction? Before you, I'm not opposed to them or anything like that or whatever. My question is more, and maybe Arthur can answer this. Should we be projecting, here's what your rent's going to be the next 4 months, and be able to go either up or down, depending on conditions, with, you know, 30 days notice or something? Or should we just eat it and be done with it, which is probably the right thing to do?
I think we just sit tight. That would be my recommendation. The world, there's so much volatility and there's so much hyperbole being spread around that I don't know how you would make a responsible decision. you know, you can always look back at it after the fact and deal with it. I wouldn't try to get ahead of it.
No, I agree, and I was looking for your opinion on that. And I also think to the extent that we as a government agency can provide stability, it's a good idea.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
And I think as much as we can do to, and I think most of the tenants are fine with, you know, having any kind of a deferral and, you know, still be able to pay that over the life of their lease.
Okay.
However, you know, we've taken a conservative approach that if something, you know, were to be more significant or more drastic, you know, that we at least have that covered in our budget.
Yeah, Chris, overall, what percentage net impact does this have when you create a fraction of the loss over the total budget? You end up with what kind of downward percentage are we talking about?
We're talking, let's see, about 1.2 million.
And if you got the number as well, I'd be curious. I guess it's 130, as long as we got time.
Yeah, yeah, it's about 100 plus that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's the right thing to do. I mean, we aren't, you know, ruthless capitalists or at the hospital.
You know, and again, I think, you know, the tenants that, you know, it really just depends on how it impacts their business. But
and they're serving patients.
Know, patients are still going to have to be seeing their doctors. I think, you know, a lot of the physicians, at least the provider, organizations that are there, you know, they're adjusting to, you know, telehealth type appointments and that. So they are still seeing patients, probably affected some, but some of their businesses are not shut down completely.
Got it. All right. So I'm going to suggest something that's just a total harebrained idea, but I want to get the reaction to it. Should we in this budget set aside some rent relief that would be used to help someone who couldn't make their copay or, you know, might not seek treatment because they just don't have the money? Or is that so far over our ability? We just stay away from it. You're a fool. Or should we give the, you know, the CEO a budget and go, hey, just report to us what and why at this meeting? And, you know, I'm talking maybe $100,000-$150,000 of kindness out to the community. Could be an awful idea. I'm just floating.
I think that's dangerous because I think you could create a land rush to that money. No different than there was a land rush to the first cycle of available money for small businesses sold out in what, you know, a week, you know, a couple of trillion went poof. I think you have to just reserve the decision-making along those lines and express the same strategy after the fact when we have a little bit more of a recognized basis. Recognize also that these physicians have the right to petition the feds for support as well. So I don't think we need to get too far ahead of anybody. Let's just sit in the back of the bus for a change.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily a bad strategy. We may want to kind of take the foot off the accelerator.
On the
grant program in the event you get halfway, three quarters of the way through the year and we have problems. Because, I mean, I just have no idea how long this thing's going to happen.
I think that's an excellent idea. And I think as a policy statement, we ought to consider at the board level announcing to our recipients that the year is everything that goes out is basically contingent, and all commitments are basically subject to review, period. And because you're right, we have no clue what's coming down the road.
So I do want to add something to that. And Mark, I agree with you, and Arthur, I agree with you too. I think it is important that we consider that the economic stability is going to help with the health of our community. And I agree with you, Arthur, that we should not be doing that ourselves. And we're working with our community partners to identify the best way in which we can contribute to a community pool that will draw millions of dollars to help our community with that economic stability.
Right.
And we from the district can contribute.
What we can contribute. Yeah, agreed, absolutely. But I don't think we should get out front with a policy statement. I think we just have to put people on notice that it's a very fluid year and decisions will be made as facts evolve. You're absolutely right. And we have to do what we can do to the maximum degree possible.
So I think that's fine.
I want to just add that I think that Conrado has a really good understanding of some of the efforts out there, and he has some ideas of how we can support some of these efforts. But with your initial idea, I think, Mark, I think it was that you want him to be able to respond to a situation. And I was looking at, I know that we have had the CEO discretionary fund. I think it was $5,000 before?
Correct.
Okay. And I think that amount is proposed to be $25,000.
That's correct.
So I think that's a good start to give him the discretion to be able to act in absence of the board, to be able to, if he sees that there's a serious, gap in funding for an organization that's in need, I think that's a way that we could support what you're proposing, Mark, is to give him the authority to be able to make that kind of decision with the understanding that he lets us know how the money was spent. So he can not have to wait for, several weeks.
So do you have an amount in mind, or should we just to start with?
He has a $25,000, it's on line 6325.
Gotcha, I'm down at the grass looking at that. Okay, that's fine. And if you should need more, well, let's just review it at our meeting here and see what's going on.
Excuse me, what was the amount again?
$25,000.
Yeah.
Thank you. And Mark, if I just may add, we just had a grant request come through program committee from Desert Cancer Foundation for patient assistance. So it's sort of the same thing, patients that are having cancer treatments and can't afford because they lost their insurance or they need money for prescriptions or chemotherapy or radiation. So there's organizations like that that also help with residents that...
Yeah.
Are for foregoing maybe treatment to be able to pay for their rent or their food. So
and they've been a how many year participant with the district?
Well, we spun off the Susan and Jackson Breast Cancer Fund back in 2005, so 15 years.
Yeah, they're a reliable partner. Good. All right.
Is that enough? Is $25,000 enough? Conrado, do you think that's comfortable for you, or do you need 50?
It is a start. It's a good start.
You're okay with 25. Okay.
Well, we can review this monthly here.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, too.
He won't be bashful to ask for more.
Okay. I saw that little smile of his.
I thought it was a good opening offer.
Okay. I'm negotiating for him. You never take the first offer.
Well, you know, there's another bite at the apple next month. So. Good. Do we have to take an action there, Andrea?
So there's no action, but it's direction from the entire committee.
Okay, great.
Which will be forwarded to the board for approval.
Great.
And we're talking about the entire budget, is that?
I'm fine with the whole budget and that thing. I mean, I will truthfully will delve into it more than I have before the board meeting. Mm-hmm. And I promise you, as I've always done, I won't surprise you at a board meeting. I'll send you a list of questions and go explain it.
And I think what our plan is tomorrow's going to be a strategic planning committee meeting. And right now in the budget that's before you, there are some blank areas with regard to there's $4 million that's budgeted for grant funding. And the focus areas or the areas where allocation of that monies would be identified in the budget will be discussed at tomorrow's strategic planning committee meeting. So I think the plan would be what comes from that, that we would include in this budget then that would come to the board for further review at the board meeting.
Can I make one other comment, though, before we leave this? Is on page 75, where you have the salary, and then you have for proposed for next fiscal year, no changes. So am I to understand that there's not going to be any pay raises or anything, right?
No, there is a pay increase built into the, there's a 5% pay increase pool built into page 74. So if you see right under the list of the names and positions, there's mm-hmm. a pool merit increase.
Okay.
So there is a 5% merit increase in there for most of that that's for mostly all employees that are current employees. Those vacant ones would not be entitled at this point.
And the CEO is excluded from that?
Correct.
Okay, I'm wondering, don't take this personally, everyone. Don't hate me for what I'm going to say. But I'm wondering, are we sending a wrong message by having a 5% increased performance merit in light of the fact that cities, county, nonprofits are struggling to stay afloat, and the district is going to have the pay increase.
Can I add, President DeLauro, that's even more reason for the staff to have a pay increase, given the challenging times that we're in.
Go ahead. I welcome your opinion, please.
No, I'm just saying, what you just stated, that's even more reason to move forward with staff increases, given the economic challenges that are happening right now.
I would suggest keeping the stipend for the directors at 100 and forego that 5%.
I'd be okay with that. That's
fine with me.
I do know, President DeLauro, that some government agencies have frozen hiring right now.
So is that something that I know we hadn't had any, we just hired two people. But I guess I want to just make a statement, and maybe that's something that we could say, is that there'll be no hiring for the time being until we can evaluate the economic impact that the district is going to be experiencing a year from now. It says no changes, I guess that is a little bit misleading. If there is going to be some changes, why isn't there the numbers in there?
What that's indicating is if what we include that schedule for is if there's any proposed title changes, salary range changes, et cetera. But then include, and probably what I should do for that purpose, and I understand what you're saying, is to include the description there instead of saying no changes, that it would indicate that there's a potential 5% merit increase included in the budget itself.
Okay.
And I'll make that revision for the board meeting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what about what about freezing the stipend for the directors?
That is actually just showing as the $105. That currently does not have an increase to that at this point.
I thought it was 100 right now.
No, you're getting 105 right now.
I see. Okay. Well, then why does it say 5%?
Because it just has that's a number. That's a kind of a percentage number that's there, but I can remove that if it's confusing.
Okay, well, I think that if it's going to be if it's going to be stabilized at the existing number, that should be announced in the notes so that people who are reading the notes can see that.
Okay.
Okay.
Excuse me, was there a recommendation for a change to the stipend? Did I miss that?
No change.
Okay.
Okay, so this is going to go to the board.
So then, excuse me, in addition to approving the additional $25,000 discretion for the CEO, this is included in the approval of the budget. Is that correct?
The $25,000 is already included in the budget.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So we just need a motion and a second.
So move.
Your second?
I second.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Hey, just for the record and nothing, don't read anything sinister into this. I'm going to abstain because frankly, I didn't have a really good chance to look at this. And if I have anything I come up with, I will be in touch with Chris or Conrado, but I just really haven't studied it well enough. And not because of anything you did, but this COVID thing's got me running all over the world. So.
Can we add something on the discussion that we said about no hiring and for the time being until we can establish what the economic impact on the district is going to be? Can we make that note? I think we have to recognize that there is some negative economic impacts, and I'm okay with the pay increases. We have the money, we have great staff that deserve it, but I think that we do have to recognize that there is some serious issues going on, and that's way that we can justify that.
So are you talking about the current vacant positions that we have on the
staff? So the senior program officer, the development officer, and the policy analyst, what I think you're suggesting is you hold off and come get the committee and board approval to fill those. Is that what you just
said? Yes, those are not including the people you just hired, right?
Ronald, let me unmute him. There he goes.
That doesn't include the people you just hired, right? Those are already on board, right?
Yes, and okay. The senior, and Letty, I'm sorry, it says it has three vacancies there, but the senior program officer for behavioral health, she was hired.
Okay.
And so she has a name. Her name is Evie Mordy, so we cannot withdraw the offer.
No, and I wouldn't want you to. That definitely is
that's why I wanted to point out is that we do have that position filled.
I don't want to push someone out of a job. Yeah. I want to have a little powder in the barrel. That's all. Yeah.
Okay. So where is that listing about the vacant positions? What page is that? So I could see it. So I know.
74.
Okay.
75.
74.
Okay. 74. So we have.
Yeah.
the senior program officer on board, behavioral health, and then the senior development officer, that one's not hired, right? Or is it? Or he or
no,
she?
No, that has not.
Okay, but we do have the funding for it?
Yes, we do.
Okay, okay. And the public policy analyst, you haven't hired that person, but that's been budgeted in the budget as well?
Yes.
Okay, then if it's been budgeted and you don't think that with the decrease, the 5% decrease, that it won't endanger, it won't jeopardize any of our programs by hiring these people, we're okay?
We are okay, I think.
Okay, Rich? Then I will withdraw my mention. We have discussed it and I'm satisfied. Thank you.
So you're recommending the budget as presented go to the board?
Yes.
Okay. Again, I'm going to abstain because I kind of like to keep my powder a little dry.
you don't like giving money away, huh?
Well, we've got room and I mean, I just don't know what the future, you know, frankly, in my profession, the future is just fine. But looking forward, I don't know how deep this goes. Mm-hmm. And there's just the uncertainty of the times.
That's why I thought it was important for us to talk about those issues, because I'm sure that there might be some questions about it, and we've addressed it to my satisfaction.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, okay. So that's going to the board. I think we already voted on it. Is that right? Or do you want another vote, Andrea?
No, we had one vote. We are good.
Good. All right. Good.
So we can adjourn this meeting and move to the foundation if there's no other item.
Nope. Adjourn the district. Let me pull up the foundation. This is always dangerous. Got it. Okay. Call the meeting to order. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay, public comment. A motion to approve the minutes of March 10th.
So moved.
Second.
Second. All those in favor, aye.
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 Okay, CEO.
Nothing to report.
Okay, great. The financial statements, CFO.
What we're seeing there is just the 2 months of March and April. And year to date on page 5, I guess it is. So we're trending just a negative about 68,000 from what we had budgeted, about $312,000 loss year to date. So we're trying to hopefully come out relatively close to even there by the end of the year.
Okay. Anybody have any questions?
Where are we at with the $300,000 East Valley? Did we actually bring it down a little bit, or are we? What's the balance?
As far as the current budget for this year, we have not committed any dollars to the current 2019-20 $300,000, and then we'll talk later about the budget for 2021. Includes another $300,000 for that year.
So we have $300,000 that's not that is still there for current year, and then we are proposing actually to make a change to that formula for the next budget year, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
So when all right. I didn't see. What's the change year over year in that East Valley thing? 300.
So if you recall the commitment that the board made 3 years ago when we did the expansion commitment with LAFCO was $300,000 a year to the East Valley for 20 years.
Okay.
And that was to come from non-taxpayer related dollars, different components of that coming from our current investments in the foundation, Some of that coming, $50,000 a year of that coming from the Avery Trust funds. We have now committed $500,000 of that presently with the air quality issues in the East Valley. So the, and I think to me, one of the issues that needs to be addressed is the current distinction between the West Valley tax funds of, you know, roughly $6 to $7 million that's been committed grant funding wise, $3.5 to $4 million on the west side and $300,000 on the east side. And whether that distinction is to continue or should it be blended to where it's utilized across the valley. Certainly a question I think the board should consider and address.
We need a legal opinion about that?
I think legal is defined that since the expansion occurred, that all property taxpayer dollars can be used across the valley or across the district.
Okay.
Are you on a particular page at all?
No, I'm just talking in general at the moment.
Relative to the annual budget item.
Thank you.
Yeah. I have, you know, agree. I mean, I think there's the only real solution is likely to find out what capital investment to even get near parity, because it just doesn't work. I mean, it was kind of in the legislation, then it was out of the legislation, and I don't think anybody's going to go put it back in. I mean, I that just ain't going to happen. But what could happen is an evaluation of facilities necessary in the East Valley. And again, whether it be through construction or acquisition, but ultimately we have a pretty tremendous bonding authority. And I know one thing about wealthy people, they like tax-free municipal bonds, and there's a whole bunch of them down in the East Valley. And I'm not talking about, you know, Coachella, I'm talking about on the way there, that would buy things like that. And I think that would be a good sourcing mechanism to meet the needs. So there's a two-pronged approach. One is you need to go, what do we need down here? And, you know, estimate what it costs. And then what do we need to pass the bonding issue? And which means everybody's got to lock hands together and be happy. And everybody cheering up and down to make the negative vote as small as possible. And the, yes, we're making a better Coachella Valley is as well done as possible. That might be something to at least explore. Otherwise, you know, it's kind of going to just be lopsided forever, which, you know, isn't the end of the world either. But the county hasn't got any money, and I don't think they're going to reallocate anything. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. That's the foundation. Any okay, so we've gone through, do you want to last budget, can we go to budget totally, or are we?
So okay. here's probably a dilemma we need to solve. We have $300,000 on the foundation side that we haven't been able to allocate during this fiscal year. We were able to allocate some from the previous fiscal year. Now we're going to add another 300,000 for the next fiscal year. So we will have about 600,000 that, in my opinion, could be allocated for small grants or something like that, but it doesn't, probably doesn't merit the distinction between East and West if we're going to have a grant-making budget that is going to be without the distinction of East or West, since we live in one valley, and that separation is artificial, and the organizations that we support are typically providing services to clients both East and West in Coachella Valley.
Therefore?
Therefore, my recommendation is that we allocate 500,000 from the previous and the next fiscal year, and to make that a foundation grant-making allocation that's going to be for small grants. And maybe this is a conversation we need to have more in depth in the near future on how we're going to distribute, to make that fund distribution, what's going to be the criteria to grant those dollars. But at least we agree at the next board meeting that fund in the foundation is not going to be for either East or West, but rather for the One Coachella Valley.
What if you were to broaden that thought process to just a generic statement that going forward, all grants will be considered on a global geographic basis, period, end of discussion, and put it to rest once and for all. And whatever we do, we do, and we decide what we decide, but the official policy of the district is there's one geography, it has an eastern border, it has a western border, and everything in between, and that's all there is. What if we made a global policy statement?
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to be offended by that?
I'm sure there will be a couple people, but...
So what? Right. You always have people offended, but so what?
Exactly.
What you have, Arthur, and just from like a history background with it, is that the... and that's what created a real challenging dilemma with the LAFCO expansion effort, is that you have the taxpayers on the west side, that some of them that really know what this is all about aren't so happy about what they consider their property taxes being spread across the valley, when they would like to see their taxes being used for our residents. In their mind, they're residents of the West Valley, and when the East Valley residents don't have any skin in the game from a property tax commitment standpoint.
I understand that. I understand that argument. I think we should redirect those people to the federal government and have them look at the contribution that the state of California makes to the federal government and the amount of money that comes back from the federal government. I mean, that's an argument that is a generic argument, and it is what it is, but it should not affect our policy making. And if they're unhappy, they should move.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying what the history of it was.
There's another way of looking at it, and I don't mean to be flip in what I'm going to say next. But when airlines started charging for baggage, you know, to check a bag and baggage, or when supermarkets started charging a dime for a bag, I was offended. And I was really annoyed by it. But then I thought about it for a minute, and I said to myself, you know what? This is generational. My grandkids are growing up in an era, they don't know from free bags on a plane. They only know from check bags on a plane. So it's a transitional item. So you're going to have people that are upset. I respect that argument. It's a legitimate, it's a valid argument, but it should not affect our policy. Our policy is we have one valley, we have one agenda, and we're doing the best we can.
And it's only $24. It's not each shows up on your property tax bill.
There you go. There you go. In the grand scheme of things, it's a valid argument that needs to be respectful and not abused, but it doesn't carry the agenda, in my opinion.
Yeah. I thought it was $63, wasn't it?
No, it doesn't show up on your property tax bill. But
Nothing shows up. It's a portion of
the... Yeah, it goes to the general fund, but I thought it was only $24.25.
Yeah, well...
Maybe it went up.
It is the complication, and I'll speak from my standpoint, and at least two of the three directors who are in the West, is now that we're in districts, pretty much we're going to get that question probably in elections going forward. And we're going to go, oh my God, what a horrible situation. And you can't really be for it. You don't have the votes, the truth be known. The votes will never be there to change that. Because
to change
of
what?
To a district-wide thing or whatever. But the bigger concern I have, that's just a political argument for, frankly, anybody who would want to be elected again. That happens to be in the district that's paying the taxes. Because your taxpayers are actually footing the bill. Now, with that said, those will get redrawn. The majority will be elsewhere. The world won't come to an end, blah, 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 blah. But the question is where does the district go from here? More importantly is we have a lease with tenant, which has a termination asset provision in it that no one's calculated the termination asset very recently, but we're already out of money. And so now you go to negotiate with tenant, and for sake of discussions, because it's a round number, you want $200,000, $200 million for the lease or the sale of the hospital. Pick your choice. I like lease better than sale. You've got to somehow make that number bigger. And the only one with money at the table, and a lot of it, is tenant. And so that issue comes into play in the lease negotiations. And the more it goes away, the more likely you could have a split vote on the matter. And we don't want a split vote on the matter anyway. We want everybody to say this is the greatest idea since sliced bread. And the way to do that is the way we passed it the last time, was tenant wrote a huge check out, put away our debt, and put $100 million in the bank for us, maybe 120. And that's what it's about. It isn't about the current stuff. It frankly isn't about the districts. It's about why give up money that we want tenant to pay. So that's my strategy.
The other side of the question is if people on the West Side who are taxpayers are upset about the allocation, they become strong positive agitators to encourage the people who are interested in tax-free bonds who are on the way to the East Side to do that, and they become our allies in the bonding strategy that you talked about before.
Oh, I agree. And by the way, the truth be known, you could go to 1,000 citizens in the current district and they have no idea about this. No, nobody has any idea how this is organized. The only one that does are elected officials, generally at the city level, and that's it. They're the only ones who even remotely care, and they really don't care. Yeah. I'm just looking for a deal. I don't want to take anything away from putting the squeeze on tenant health for the extension of the lease. So, I think we're done with. Is there a motion to approve the budget, or did we, or where are we at here? Did we vote on that?
I think we need to address. Are we going to go forward with $300,000 in there for the East Valley funding, or what changes are we going to make?
I think we already did that, didn't we?
We're gonna recommend that it be not $300,000. That it's gonna be district-wide.
District-wide, that all allocations, yeah, I second that motion.
Okay. $500,000?
No, just, there's no designation.
$600,000. You had 3 and 3, didn't you, Conrado? 3 carryover and 3 for this year?
I believe so. Is that correct, Chris?
Yes. So,
6.
So we're leaving it in, we're just designating it. We're not having the East Valley funding designation. It's
going to be
one Coachella. So we're not changing any numbers. We're just changing the designation to all of Coachella Valley.
And the designation would come from the board with the criteria that we establish for this funding for district-wide. What areas do we want to do? Do we want to do small grants? Do we want to do strengthening organizations that have suffered as a result of COVID. You know, whatever it is that the district decides in our strategic planning session, I think that's what that $600,000 should be used for district-wide. Yes.
Great.
I think that's an excellent idea. So is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
And second, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Oh, 3-0.
Out of the budget, correct?
Yes.
We did not vote on the financials.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had asked that and didn't hear. So going back to what I thought we'd approved, and I failed to do that. We've gone through the financial reports, all five of them. Are there any additional questions? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the financial reports?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? None? I think that means we're adjourned.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody. Really appreciate it.
Thank you all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good meeting.
Tomorrow, right? When's our next meeting, Andrea? Tomorrow.
Yeah.